From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar. A group of snipers fatally shot 5 police officers in Dallas, wounding several others after a demonstration against shootings of black men by police had wrapped up Thursday night. One gunman who was exchanging fire with police in the El Centro College garage was reported dead shortly before 3 a.m. local time. Dallas Police Chief David Brown and Dallas Mayor Mike Rawlings held a press conference last night in which they announced at least 2 snipers had shot the 11 officers and 1 civilian from elevated positions with rifles after the rally downtown. This was Mayor Rawlings.
About 6 o'clock, we had a peaceful demonstration in downtown Dallas. After the demonstration, there were about 800 people in that demonstration. We had 100 officers protecting the demonstrators and the surrounding area. After the demonstration, a march was taking place to the West End. And at 8:58, our worst nightmare happened. Our Dallas Public Safety, Dallas Police Department, DART officers were fired upon by shooters. I'm sad to say that we have deceased, and it is a heartbreaking moment for the city of Dallas.
To update, in Dallas at about 8:58 p.m. Thursday night local time, at least 2 snipers shot 11 officers and 1 civilian, apparently from elevated positions, with rifles after a rally against police violence in downtown Dallas. There was a shootout in a parking garage that left one of the alleged gunmen dead. A woman near that shootout is in custody, and a person of interest, according to police, turned himself in. The NATO summit opened in Warsaw Friday, bringing heads of state, foreign, and defense ministers from 28 NATO member and partner states to the Polish capital. It began with a signing ceremony.
Good afternoon. We will now start the signing ceremony for the joint declaration by the President of the European Council, the President of the European Commission, and the Secretary General of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization.
The summit is set to run through Saturday at Warsaw National Stadium. After the signing ceremony, the President of the European Council, Donald Tusk, addressed reporters.
Today, the EU and NATO face the same threats, whether they come from the east or the south, or indeed from within, in the form of challenges to the order based on liberal democratic values we have come to believe as our birthright. In these new realities, our citizens are demanding greater security, no matter whether they live in countries belonging to the EU, to NATO, or to both.
This was NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg, who will chair the meeting, as he described the recent placement by NATO of military forces and hardware at Russia's borders.
The 4 battalions will be multinational battalions, meaning that they will send a very clear message about that an attack on one ally will trigger the response from the whole alliance. They will be the presence of the battalions will be in Lithuania, Latvia and Estonia, as well as in Poland. And I think it is important to understand that the battalions are only one element in a broader response from NATO. We have tripled the size of the NATO response force to 40,000 troops, with a spearhead force at its core able to move within a matter of days. We have set up small new headquarters in Poland and other countries in the eastern part of the alliance, which are important for planning, for exercises, but also to facilitate reinforcements if needed. And we have also decided to have more exercises, sped up our decision-making, So we have done a lot of different things.
There will be protests coast to coast in the United States against the NATO summit. Here in New York at 2 p.m. on Saturday at the Army Recruiting Center in Times Square, and at 12 noon in Los Angeles at Grand Park. Prior to his departure for the namesake of the former Soviet bloc, the Warsaw Pact, the Secretary General of NATO held a press conference.
Good afternoon. Thank you for coming. The Secretary General will preview the NATO summit in Warsaw, and then he will be happy to take your questions. Secretary General.
Good afternoon and happy 4th of July to our American friends. And welcome to all of you to this press conference. This week's NATO summit in Warsaw comes at a defining time for our security, with threats and challenges from many different directions. In response at our last summit in Wales, we laid out plans for the biggest reinforcement of NATO's collective defense since the Cold War. In Warsaw, I will report to heads of state and government that NATO has done what we said we would do. We delivered a faster, a stronger and a more ready alliance. We now need to take the next steps. So at our summit in Warsaw, we will agree to further enhance our military presence in the eastern part of the alliance. We will deploy 4 robust multinational battalions to Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania and Poland. I welcome Canada's recent announcement that it will lead one of these 4 battalions together with Germany, the United Kingdom, and the United States. This is a great contribution to our common security and a clear signal that our nations will defend one another on both sides of the Atlantic. Our collective defense and deterrence includes much more. We will also agree to develop a tailored presence in the southeast based on a multinational brigade in Romania. We will recognize cyberspace as an operational domain alongside air, land and sea. And I expect that allies will make a cyber defense pledge to strengthen their own networks. This is part of our overall efforts to increase our resilience, both within our nations and collectively. And we will further streamline the flow of civilian and military intelligence through a new intelligence division within NATO headquarters. Helping us to make the right decisions at the right time, and enabling us to better counter modern challenges, including hybrid and terrorist threats. The Warsaw Summit will renew our commitment to spend more on defense and to spend better. Today we have published the details of allies' defense expenditure for 2015 and updated estimates for 2016. Last year, after a long period of decline, we saw a small increase in overall defense spending by NATO's European allies and Canada. This year, we estimate that it will rise even more. We expect a real increase of 3% in defense spending by European allies and Canada. This amounts to $8 billion. 22 allies will increase defense spending in real terms. Moreover, 18 allies will increase defense expenditures devoted to major equipment and research and development. So we are both spending more and we are spending better. But we have a very long way to go and we must keep up the momentum. In all our decisions, our aim is to defend our allies, not to increase tensions in Europe. NATO continues to be a responsible, transparent, and predictable actor, and we remain open to dialogue with Russia. The NATO-Russia Council has an important role to play as a forum for dialogue and information exchange to reduce tensions and increase predictability. That is why we are working with Russia to hold another meeting of the Council shortly after the summit, where transparency and risk reduction should be an important topic. Another major theme of the summit will be projecting stability beyond our borders. When our neighbors are more stable, we are more secure. NATO can and will do more to support them. We will agree to start training and capacity building inside Iraq, expanding our existing training for Iraqi officers in Jordan. We will decide that NATO AWACS aircraft will provide information to the global coalition to counter ISIL. And I expect we will agree on a role for NATO in the Central Mediterranean, complementing the European Union's Operation Sophia, and building on our effective cooperation in the Aegean to cut lines of human trafficking. Afghanistan remains our largest operation. President Ghani and Chief Executive Abdullah will join us in Warsaw. We are committed to assisting the Afghan forces to secure their country and to ensure it never again becomes a safe haven for international terrorism. We will continue our resolute support mission beyond 2016, and we will continue our contribution to the funding of the Afghan forces until 2020. We will also demonstrate our support to our partners in the East. We will hold a meeting of the NATO-Ukraine Commission with President Poroshenko. And in an independent, sovereign and stable Ukraine, firmly committed to democracy and the rule of law, is key to Euro-Atlantic security. And NATO is committed to helping Ukraine achieve that goal. We will also continue to boost the defense capacity and resilience of Georgia and the Republic of Moldova, to resist outside pressure and to advance reforms. The European Union is a unique and essential partner for NATO. Now is the time to take our cooperation to a new level. In Warsaw, together with the presidents of the European Council and the European Commission, I will sign a joint declaration on our partnership, setting out new ways we can work more closer together on key areas such as countering hybrid threats and maritime security, because together we are stronger. Our world is changing and NATO is changing with it. What remains unchanged is the unbreakable bond between Europe and North America, on which our alliance is founded. In an age of uncertainty, we need our alliance more than ever for predictability, cooperation and unity. The decisions we will take at the Warsaw Summit will strengthen our alliance and demonstrate our resolve. And with that, I'm ready to take your questions.
Okay, we'll start with Belinsky, second row here. Yeah, there. Jakob from Danish Daily Berlingske. On the defense expenditure, you say there's been some progress, but there's still a very long way to go. So if we just go back to Wales and the pledges for reaching the 2% in 10 years' time from Wales, we're 2 years into that period. So how satisfied are you with the progress so far, and how realistic is it that we, in 8 years' time, we'll see all 28 on 2% or above? And if this is not reached within the next 8 years, what will it mean for NATO's capabilities to do more in relation to migration, ISIL, all the threats from the east, south, wherever it might be?
I think we have to remember that the heads of state and government decided in Wales 2 years ago to increase defence spending in three steps. First, to stop the cuts, then to gradually increase defence spending, and then to aim at 2% within a decade. And we have to also remember that now we are only less than 2 years into that pledge. And after the two first years, we have seen that we have been able to stop the cuts, and we have been able to gradually increase defense spending. That's the total numbers. And of course, the picture is mixed. Some allies, and the majority, have started to increase, but some allies are still cutting. In total, if you add all that together, you see an increase among European allies and Canada. The United States is far above 2%. So we are moving in the right direction, and I'm glad to see that we have really turned the corner, meaning that after many, many years of decline, we have started to increase. Having said that, there is a long way, because we are in no way at 2%. And still some allies are cutting, and there is a long way to go. But I am encouraged by the progress I have seen. This has been my main focus since I arrived at NATO headquarters. I have discussed it in all capitals at least once, and I will continue to be extremely focused on defense spending. At the summit, this will be an issue at the summit. We will share figures and the facts with the heads of state and government and report back to them, but also, of course, in the months and years following the summit. I expect NATO to deliver, and NATO heads of state and government to do as they decided to do in Wales. And that's absolutely possible. It is within reach. And as I said, we have now started to move in the right direction after many years of decline.
Agence France-Presse in the first room.
Thank you, Secretary General. I have a question about the plan to declare an initial operational capability for the BMD system, the anti-missile shield. I understand some countries, and especially France, is asking for guarantees that this system will be completely under the political control of the 28 allies before this IOC is declared. Can you explain to us how these discussions are unfolding, and if you expect still a decision to be taken in Warsaw this week? Thank you.
Our aim is to be able to declare initial operational capability for our missile defense system at our summit in Warsaw. And we are working on that exactly now. And the missile defense system is important because we have seen proliferation of ballistic missiles, and NATO has to be able to defend our population and our territory against that kind of attacks. I think it is important once again to underline that this is not directed against Russia. It is directed against threats coming from outside the Atlantic area. And it is also important to remember that this is about missile defense. And missile defense is defensive. And we speak about interceptors, which are able to intercept incoming missiles. And the interceptors are not offensive weapons. They don't carry armed warheads. They are only able to intercept incoming missiles, and the location and the physics makes it impossible for them to intercept Russian intercontinental ballistic missiles. Of course, command and control is important, and that's exactly what we now are looking into, how we can find ways to ensure the best possible command and control, taking into account that we have very little time to decide when we are in a really dangerous situation, when there is a possible attack. So we have to find ways of ensuring the necessary political control, the necessary tools of command and control, taking into account that if we really are attacked by ballistic missiles, we speak about a very short time to make the necessary decisions.
Agence Europe in the fifth row.
Jan Cordis, Agence Europe, Secretary General, about the NATO-Russia Council, are you disappointed that the meeting will take place only after the summit? How do you explain this decision? And could you tell us a little bit more about the agenda of the meeting? What do you expect from the Russia party? Thank you.
So we were ready to have a meeting before the summit, but we're also ready to have a meeting after the summit. And to be honest, it doesn't matter that much whether it takes place just before or just after the summit. The important thing is that it takes place. And we are now in a good dialogue with the Russians about the modalities and the agenda and the exact timing of the next meeting of the NATO-Russia Council. There has been no final agreement, but we have a good dialogue with them on these issues. And as soon as we decide on the agenda and the exact timing, we will announce the next meeting. I think and I believe that the NATO-Russia Council is a very useful and important tool because NATO very much believe in the idea of defense and dialogue. And we don't see any contradiction between strong defense deterrence and political dialogue. Actually, we believe that we need dialogue more now when we see increased tensions, more military activity, then the importance of political channels, political dialogue, but also military-to-military lines of communications are even more important. Therefore, we convened the meeting of the NATO-Russia Councils some weeks ago. We plan to have one shortly after the summit. One of the issues I believe should be addressed there is transparency, risk reductions, predictability, because we have seen more military activities, more some unsafe and unprofessional behavior. And with all the flights, all the military activity in the Baltic Sea, the Black Sea, and other places around NATO territory, it is important to avoid the kind of incidents and accidents we have seen, with, for instance, the downing of the Russian plane over Turkey, and also the busing of an American naval ship in the Baltic Sea recently. These are incidents and accidents which we should try to prevent. And if they occur, we should have mechanisms in place, making sure that they don't spiral out of control and create really dangerous situations. So we're looking forward to have a new meeting in the NATO-Russia Council, also addressing the transparency risk reductions, exactly when that is going to take place, and the exact agenda is not yet decided.
Munyan, third row.
Thank you. Secretary General, please, can you give more details about NATO-Ukraine Commission during Warsaw Summit? What exactly is the agenda? What do you expect from Ukrainian and what NATO expects from NATO? Thank you.
First of all, I'm looking forward to welcoming President Petro Poroshenko once again to NATO headquarters. He will be there. He will update us at the meeting of the NATO Ukraine Commission, which we will have on the second day of the summit. And at that meeting, NATO and NATO allies will reiterate their strong political support to Ukraine for the territorial integrity, the sovereignty of Ukraine, and we will reiterate our strong support for the full implementation of the Minsk agreements. We have seen a number of violations of the ceasefire. We will call for a full respect of the ceasefire, but also that the international observers are allowed to work and to do their job in eastern Ukraine, to be able to monitor and to help implementing the Minsk agreements and the ceasefire. We will also step up our practical support, not only political support, but also practical support for Ukraine. And we will agree on a comprehensive package where we will streamline our different strands of work and support to Ukraine. This will include strategic advice and assistance. We are already providing practical support to Ukraine through our different trust funds, covering areas like command and control, logistic and cyber. But we will also then add new projects to the different activities under the trust funds, and we will add projects related to hybrid warfare, explosive devices, and strategic communications. So we will strongly provide political support, but we will also step up and increase our practical support with the agreement on the comprehensive assistance package for Ukraine.
Georgian Public Broadcaster, first row.
Georgian Public Broadcaster, Mr. Secretary General, how do you evaluate the progress made by Georgia? I mean the steps taken by Georgia and also by NATO since Wales. From your perspective, and also what should Georgia expect in Warsaw? You have just mentioned that it's important for the organization to help partners, and the partners should have the ability to resist outside pressure. What do you mean, and what risks do you see? Thank you.
We will have a meeting in the NATO-Georgia Commission at the foreign ministerial level during our summit. And there we will express our political support, and again to the territorial integrity and independence of Georgia, but we will also discuss how we can provide practical support to Georgia. And I was present when we inaugurated the joint training center in Georgia some months ago, and I think that's a very good platform for providing practical support to Georgia. There is more NATO in Georgia now, with trainers, with advisors, and we will help Georgia implement reforms, modernizing its defense structures and building defense institutions. So this is a meeting place where we will meet with the Georgian foreign minister and other representatives from Georgia, discussing how we can work together with a close partner. And I also like to commend Georgia for contributing troops, forces to different NATO operations, including to Afghanistan, one of the biggest force contributors to our mission in Afghanistan is, for instance, or is Georgia.
Having a
That's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.